It looks like you have four voting members present. I know we're at time. I'm gonna go ahead and ask one of the engagement managers to call Jeggy, see if he's still gonna be able to make it.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Sloan. I'm sitting in for Mr. Kirkland, just so you know.
Thank you, Jason. Good to have you back.
Good to be back, sir.
Jeggy will be joining.
All right, thanks for the update.
Mr. Chairman, I believe you have a minimum quorum now. We already got the recording going if you want to go ahead and get started.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. I will go ahead and call the meeting to order and ask them to go ahead and do a roll call, please.
Yes. Jeggy Krishnamurthy?
Here. Sorry for the late.
Jason Simpson on behalf of Brian Kirkland?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Eddie Cook?
Here.
Anthony Giacovino on behalf of Director Fleetnam.
Here.
Mr. Byers.
Here.
Mr. Romer. Mr. Gonick. Chairman Sloan.
Here.
Representative Nguyen. Senator Gray. Ms. Pereira, on behalf of Mr. Sobnick.
Rebecca is here. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, you have a quorum.
All right. Thank you, Chuck. First off, thank you all to the members and the delegates that have that are present today to handle this emergency session. We really appreciate your availability. The couple of projects that we have going through are time sensitive and just could not wait the 3 weeks till our next session. So do appreciate your time and consideration. We will try to be quick in executing things, let you get back to your day. So we will move forward with the agenda. I'll remind folks that this is a public meeting. We do comply with public meeting law. If you have comments on the agenda, we provided a link where you can submit your comments to us, and we will be happy to take a look at those. With that, the first item up on our agenda is a consent item, which is, that is the, Chuck, is that the Department of Gaming item? There we go. Yes.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Which is a change request. We provided the information in advance. I will ask the members if you had any questions or if you're comfortable moving forward with this as a consent item.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve.
Thank you, Eddie. Do we have a second?
Second. Yeah, this is Jiggy. I'm second.
I'm going to give the tie to Jason this time. Jiggy, we'll keep you on deck for the next item. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Thank you. That's a unanimous vote. Appreciate your quick action on that, folks. Okay. Next item, which will be another voting item, which is the Department of Administration is bringing forward the School Financial Transparency Portal Project.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Jacob Crimmins, and I'm an engagement manager with the Arizona Department of Administration. ADOA is seeking ITAC approval of a new project to implement a school finance transparency portal. The portal will establish a transparent view of public education financing and enable stakeholders to visualize, learn, and understand more about the efficiency and cost effectiveness of federal, state, and local taxpayer investments in Arizona schools. At this time, I will hand it over to the project team for introductions and to present additional information regarding this proposed project.
Thanks, Jacob. Mr. Chairman, my name is Jim Kalsdorf, and I've been the business analyst for the School Financial Transparency Portal. I wrote the business requirements, and I want to give you a brief overview here of what this project looks like. I'll be presenting today with Parmas Marfkani, who's my associate, senior project manager, also working on the project, and she'll be presenting information about timelines and budgets. So let's begin with the business case. Next slide, please. Okay, the business case here is pretty straightforward. With House Bill 2898, Arizona's legislature mandated the creation of a school financial transparency portal. And alongside this, federal education grant programs have also made significantly increased financial disclosure, accountability, and traceability a condition of federal financial participation in these programs. And currently available education finance data does not meet emerging financial reporting, accounting and traceability standards, or recent legislative mandates passed by the Arizona legislature. So the business case here is pretty clear. We need to do this in response to some federal and state mandates. And the benefits to the state and to the constituency are equally straightforward. We comply with federal education grant assurances, and we continue to receive federal financial participation. We have a transparent, dynamic review and reconciliation of education funding that we can, it just lets our stakeholders understand where the education dollars are coming from, where they're going, how they're being used, and the related demographics associated with use of those dollars. It also the visibility of the portal as it relates to the schools and the districts is going to promote a uniform, consistent application of the USFR among those schools and districts. Next slide, please. So the proposed solution here will exist as a server-based ASRAAM compliant environment. It's going to live as an Erlang virtual machine under CentOS and Ubuntu. And we have someone from AlloView here to give you more detailed technical specifications if you want to get into that. But at a high level, it'll use ETL processing of existing education finance bulk data files to generate dynamic visualizations and reporting about school finance. It will support novice users with guided user experiences that are like wizards that make it really simple to walk through and find sort of predefined reports and analytics. It'll also support advanced users with flexible ad hoc reporting capabilities for the more advanced data needs that people might have. This whole thing will be supported with negotiated enrollment-based licensing fees that are tied to the number of students in Arizona schools. and it will be a very high availability, very high reliability system. Next slide, please. Now, we envision this as a collaborative partnership with AlloView, using high fidelity prototypes and iterative agile development cycles to drive the successful product delivery. ADOA will be responsible for ongoing administration and oversight and product refinement, while AlloView will provide the development, deployment, and managed monitoring hosting services. And now I'd like to hand off to my associate Parmas, who can provide you with an overview of project timelines and costs. Parmas?
Good afternoon. This is Parmas Morfkani. I'm with Asset at ADOA. Next slide, please. Here is our timelines. The vendor has provided us with the timelines. They have broken down this implementation to four cycles, and they have estimated each cycle would take 8 weeks to complete, except for the first cycle, which might take up to 10 weeks to complete, which would take us into December. But every effort will be made to launch the software by the end of September. But however, we are working with a third-party vendor with limited resources to develop something completely new, so there might be unknown contingencies. Next slide, please. As far as the project cost, for FY22, we are going to be spending $106,800 on contractors cost. We have already hired a contractor, and we have already spent $68,400 out of that amount up to today. And then $38,400 will be for the remainder of FY22. And then the same contractor, we are extending his contract until the end of this calendar year, which would cost us another $75,600 for that. And then the cost of software altogether is going to be $2,500,000, which the first cycle will be completed by during FY22. And we have to pay $475,000 for it. And the rest of it will be completed in FY23, which is $2,025,000. And then as far as the licensing and maintenance fees, those are included in the cost of software on the first year. That's why, you know, part of it is part of FY22, part is paid out of FY23. But that would only take us up to March 31st of 2023. So we still have to pay for the last quarter, which is 3 months, for licenses and maintenance fees. And we have prorated and came up with the $312,501 for the last 3 months of FY23. And then we'll have to pay the full year of licenses and maintenance fees for FY24, which is $1,250,000. And then the same thing, we have to prorate it for FY25, which would take us again up to March 31st of 2025. And we have to pay for 9 months of licenses and maintenance fees of $937,503. And the total development cost will be $2,682,400, and total operational costs will be $2,500,000. And there will be a little difference between allocated and spent budget, and that represents ADOA administrative and ongoing support costs and also enhancements. Next slide, please. And I hand it back to James. James, you're on mute, sorry.
Sorry about that. Thank you, Parmas. Let's take a look now at some of the major project milestones and how we're gonna measure success for each of those. First, we're gonna align our ADOA and AlloView approach and strategy. That's a critical milestone because that'll happen before anything commences. And we'll coordinate and concur before we engage so that we make sure our efforts are aligned and strategically locked. The AlloView team will collaborate with the ADOA product owner to drive cyclic product development deliveries using an agile prototyping process. And the measure of success there will be the cyclic deliveries themselves and the products that we get as a result of it. We'll do a limited soft launch prior to going live that will provide us some validation and acceptance feedback that we can measure from public reaction, our focus group reaction, and that'll allow us to optimize full product launch when we go public with it, public facing. And the cohesive launch strategy is going to include a coordinated PR outreach effort that we'll measure by public reaction, media response, and then we have some utilization review features built into the requirements that allow us to see and to know exactly how often it's being used and how and by whom. And then we'll do reoccurring utilization review to inform our ongoing enhancement efforts with AlloView in partnership. And that's pretty much the overview of what our major milestones are. That's at a very high level. Are there any questions?
Okay, we'll open up to the committee for any questions with regard to the project.
Mr. Chair, is Eddie?
Yeah, go ahead, Eddie.
I just tried to review very quickly the HB 2898 from last year. Seems fairly complex, but when I think about public education funding from the state, there are other agencies like the county treasurer that actually holds and maintains, you know, fund balances for the public schools within those counties. What is the extent of, I guess, the this particular portal? How much data is actually required? What is, I guess, maybe the minimum amount of financial data that needs to be represented to meet this, you know, the bill's requirements? And does it cross over, you know, multiple, you know, again, jurisdictions, the county and so forth, as it relates to, you know, the county treasurer's looking at the, you know, having, you know, fund balances on behalf of those schools?
Great question. It actually is data that's already being produced. The problem isn't availability of data, it's how the data, how easily the data can be used and construed to derive some kind of information or benefit from it. The information relates to any funds received by the Fed, and federal funding touches almost every education program. Okay. So it cuts across government levels of government, and the schools and districts are already reporting this stuff. It's already getting rolled up into a kind of a reporting system, but that system requires sort of an advanced knowledge of macros, and that you download things and make modifications to your environment that a lot of busy parents or stakeholders just might not be willing to do for a variety of reasons. So the portal is designed to make that data simpler to drive analytics and visualizations with. That's all this is. It doesn't create any new data or rely on any new data. It just makes what's there more readily useful.
So an example would be like a governing board of a school district here in Arizona obviously produces their financials, you know, and I know that probably every school district has their own tools or their own softwares to do that. This is not to grab those particular financials of all the different types of school districts and governing boards. This sounds like it might be more focused on federal dollars that are coming in and how they're being distributed. And this portal is to provide that data to the public.
No, this takes every dollar that flows through the education system, from whether it's a federal grant program or whether it's allocated locally, and it traces its allocation, use, and ultimate disposition. Yep. There are two parallel things happening. One is the federal requirements that are tied to certain federal grant programs, and the other is a legislative will within Arizona that this be more transparent and that there be a 360-degree view of it, so that you have funds traceability that enables you to follow the dollars from source to recipient or subrecipient. And it, all of those districts and schools K through 12 throughout the state are using the USFR, Arizona's Unified System of Financial Records. It's codified in law. So that's what I said earlier, that that this portal should help drive more consistent, uniform application of it. Today, all of this data exists in a sort of nebulous state.
Yep.
You only see it and use it if you have a very targeted interest in it and the will to go get it and know how to use it. This will make the data available to anybody that wants to see it with a few mouse clicks, And the feeling is that it should drive more enhanced compliance and adoption of all of those USFR, and there's thousands of them, regulations and standards. So without a centralized place to view it and compare performance from one school or district to another, it's really hard as an individual to judge sometimes my own compliance, but the portal is designed to do that.
Sure. Well, I appreciate the complexity of this effort and wish the team best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Eddie. Anthony, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question about the timeline slide. I believe you mentioned that while the timeline goes to December and it looks pretty tight, you're going to make an effort to go live by September. How are you going to try to shave 3 months off of an already tight looking project?
Well, we're working again, as Parma said, with a third party, and both of us are trying something that hasn't really been done in this way before. Education finance reporting is not new, and there are different states around the country that have taken a stab at this and achieved different levels of success with it. I think Arizona and this partnership with AlaView will be the first time, based on my due diligence, that I've seen anyone try to pull together all of these components in this kind of dynamic visualization of data. And it will position Arizona to not just comply with the federal regulations that are emerging now, but whatever might come down the pike, it just really gives you the complete flow of funds and the traceability that you're going to need to cope with that. So, you know, this partnership with AlaView is very much a collaborative one, and we'll rely on one another throughout the development and then the maintenance and support cycle to shape future direction of the product.
Right. So does that mean then that the timeline you presented is worst case and you have best case timeline somewhere else that you're going to try to move forward with?
Yeah, you could look at it as worst case, best case. We want to deliver it optimally by September, but if we run into obstacles or things we just don't know about, it could go as long as the end of the year. I know when I first started this 6 months ago, I originally projected it would be a 3 month process to build the business requirements. That's normally what it takes. Mr. Brown needed it earlier, and I was able to find ways to compress the timeline by working smarter. And I know that LFU is a good group of creative people. I'm sure we can find some savings in there.
Jim, I can add a little color to the cycle timelines on that front as well. The way that we've organized the cycle plans and the milestones coordinate with our internal development cycles. We've organized this with the expectation that the prototype as well as two cycles of engineering will be complete by our cycle that ends in September. However, given the complexity of knowing that multiple state agencies will be involved in this, as well as knowing that there's multiple stakeholder groups that Jim will be coordinating with, we may need additional levels of approval or certification or connections with state data warehouses. We built in basically a contingency cycle, knowing that we might get slowed down on some of those earlier cycles. So our hope is that from an engineering standpoint, we'll be ready to go live by early October. But we also know that when we've got this many stakeholders involved, there may just be some additional things where we need additional sign-offs or approvals to really get that go live. So that's why we put that tentative date, sort of assuming that there would be some slowdowns, with the hope that we can still get it launched by early December.
You can rest assured we'll working very closely with Laura and her team at AlaView to do everything possible to get this done with the best case timeline.
All right, Mr. Simpson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question, who is funding this project? And I have a follow-up.
Mr. Chairman, I think Oversight can elaborate on that one. So, Mr. Simpson, within the bill that passed in the budget that year, $6 million was allocated for the life cycle of the project through FY25. So the financial breakdowns before demonstrate the current cost of development, implementation, and then maintenance and support. The excess funds will go to support ADOA's needs internally, as well as any enhancements and improvements the system needs after go live.
Got it. Follow-up question, a little bit different, which is, Did we look at multiple providers for this? Did we get our standard three bids?
The legislative language was very specific with respect to this particular bill. It really limited ADOA in terms of what our field of candidates that we had to choose from. We did put out bids. We had multiple parties express interest, but this is the selection that the legislative language led us to.
To follow up from an oversight perspective, Mr. Simpson, an RFP process, which is a term you normally hear, was utilized through the State Procurement Office. It was put out publicly for a considerable period of time, and then a selection committee went through and chose the vendor that's before you today.
Got it. Thank you, Mr. Brown and Mr. Kelsor.
All right, any other questions from the committee? If not, I'll turn it back over to you, Jake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. At this time, ASSET is recommending the project be approved with the following three conditions. Number one, should development costs exceed the approved estimates by 10% or more, or should there be significant changes to the proposed technology, scope of work, or implementation schedule, the agency must amend the PIDGE to reflect the changes and submit it to ADOA ASSET and ITAC if required for review and approval prior to further expenditure of funds. Number two, monthly reporting on the project status is due to ADOA ASSET no later than the 15th of the month following the start of the project. Failure to comply with timely project status reporting will affect the overall project health, and the first status report for this project will be due on May 15th, 2022. And lastly, number three, prior to moving any state data into the vendor-hosted environment and/or the spending of any funds, the agency must work with the Department of Administration and the Department of Homeland Security to ensure the Arizona Baseline Security Controls document is completed and approved by Cyber Command in order to ensure that the solution will provide an appropriate level of protection for state data.
Okay, thank you, Jacob. Committee members, any questions on those conditions? If there are none, I will take a motion with regard to the project.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move to approve with the conditions as presented, with one additional condition that the group come back before ITAC in September to tell us how close they are to completing the project.
I second the motion.
Okay, committee members, any discussion on the additional condition? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that's unanimous vote. We will note the additional condition. Chuck, any questions on that?
Nope, I have what I need, Mr. Chairman, to add the condition. It's pretty straightforward.
All right, very good. Again, thank you all for your time today. We're going to give you back a full minute. Appreciate everyone's support and timeliness in being here and working through this with us. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. All right, let's go ahead and end the recording and the streaming. Mm-hmm.